This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Because I reveal to the world that their deeds are evil. Sure. And everybody wants to have carte blanche and be free. People want, they don't want laws. Do they really want mayhem to prevail? Because you take that ultimately, where there's no laws, then you will have lawlessness, and then the people are going to cry out for disciplines.
Right. So how do they maintain their faith because of all this going on?
Yeah, in a secular world, it's...
Right. Well, Barna, they did a study back in 2022. It's called the Open Generation. They asked 25,000 teens around the world, and they're trying to figure out their views on Jesus and Bible and the Bible and justice and all that. It relates to what you're talking about because what they found was that kids who spent time studying the Bible, they were the ones that had the Christian worldview. It wasn't that they went to church and all that stuff, that all helped, but it was specifically spending time studying the Bible. Those guys that were considered Bible-engaged teens, they believed, 84% of them looked to the Bible for their purpose in life. 80% of them believed that the Bible showed them how to live wisely in today's society, which is great. So it's like there's this correlation between studying the Bible and keeping your biblical worldview, being able to survive society, basically. The problem was in the study of over 25,000 teens, only 8% of them were considered Bible engaged. So 92% of teens were not Bible engaged. They were not studying the Bible. And so they did not hang on to that Christian worldview. So if you're wondering, one of the main ways to be able to survive in our society is to be biblically literate.
You know, the Lord said, and even as a guy in his 70s now, I just read this recently. I've been reading it for years. The Lord said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Now, to me, that always meant, you know, say what you mean what you say, do what you say you're going to do, or say what you're going to do and then do what you said you're going to do. Okay, now taking that, I remember my Aunt Hattie, when I was 18, walking into a Howard Johnson saying, be decisive. Even if you have to make the wrong decision, it's better to learn to be decisive in life. And I was thinking, wow, how great, how much better my life would have been is if it was just like, I'm doing this or I'm not doing this. Make a decision. Because Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything else comes from the wicked one, the dark force, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is, do you think biblical literacy affects not only faith, but also character and decision-making?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you think about, we have the whole entire book of Proverbs, which is, you know, the book, all those wisdom books, but especially that one, helps you make really good decisions. You know, if you're reading the Bible, you're spending time studying it, you're seeing the examples of Jesus, of Moses, of all the heroes of the Bible, and then you're seeing also the bad examples. Hey, don't do this. Don't be like... Cain, for example, don't do what he did. Don't do what Samson did, although he did eventually turn around in the end. But, you know, there's examples of what to do and there's examples of what not to do in the Bible. We have this treasure in front of us and we need to use it, especially with our children.
So reading fights isolation. For instance, I remember when I was very young and a girl broke my heart and I was feeling I was alone on an iceberg. Oh, I'm the only one that's ever gone through this. And thoughts of even maybe thoughts of suicide, because you think you're the only one who's, and then somebody else goes, were you shaking in the middle of the night? Did you feel icy cold? Yeah, you too. And someone went through the same thing. Well, when we connect via reading, you know, but here's something else I wanted to read. The title of your book, again, is Biblical Literacy for Kids by Mandy Knowlton. Okay. Teaching students to read the Bible for themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wanted to know why the phrase for themselves was so important to include in the subtitle.
Because many people think that children cannot read the Bible for themselves. They think that they need an adult to help them at all times, that they're not And they can't be intellectually sophisticated enough to really actually sit down and read it and get out of it what an adult can get out of it. And I argue that that is not the case at all. As long as we are teaching the students the proper reading strategies, they can really actually read and have a very in-depth understanding of a biblical passage. We have to do things like help them with background knowledge. You know, like there's cultural practices and things from you know, the Old Testament or even the New Testament times that they're not going to understand. Yeah, we have to explain those things to them. Talk about that in the book too. But really, that's the ultimate goal, right? Not just that they read it, but they read it for themselves. Not only can they do it, but that they will want to do it for themselves.
You know, your son is 8 yeah. and your daughter is 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to inspire you and ask you to do me a favor.
Sure.
Teach them one or two or three other languages. If I could go back and beg my mom, I would say, please. I just saw a 4-year-old with an orchestra mm-hmm. on national or it's on YouTube, whatever I saw, playing with a full orchestra. 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to have a little girl in my life, a granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
right? And Papa Rhett is thinking, I'm thinking, she's a little over 2. She doesn't have any musical instruments.
Sure.
Now, mommy and daddy are not going to like it when Papa Rhett all of a sudden sends a package and it comes to the door
mm-hmm.
and it's an electric piano. Noise, 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 noise. But what if she has a genius there that's hidden?
Sure.
If she never touches a piano, she'll never know about music.
Right.
How did this little boy at 4 years of age, he must have started playing when he was 2.
Right.
And you know this. Right now, as an old guy, I remember I learned a little bit of Spanish. Como se llama, me llamo Gloria, Señor Jesús, amigo, hey, buenas noches, buenos días, buenos tardes. Okay, I learned that when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I know that now. I find it much harder when I'm older now to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get kids, and they love to learn. They're sure. sponges, you know?
Yes, they are. And so very capable. Sometimes, like you were saying, that little kid and, you know, being with an orchestra and stuff, we just don't always give kids credit for all the things that they really can do. The Lord has blessed children with sponge minds, and we should take advantage of that.
And we underestimate. I never liked reading.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've gone back as an adult and went back and read Sea Spot Run, Sea Dick Chase. I said, no wonder I didn't like to read. This is boring.
That's right.
You know, so my question to you now is, can a child genuinely understand deep biblical truths, or do adults underestimate children spiritually and their capabilities intellectually?
Oh, absolutely.
Without yeah. a doubt. Now, you're,
yes.
now you're a teacher.
Sure.
15 years you were a teacher. You know this stuff.
Right. And, with my fifth graders, they pulled out some of the most interesting and amazing things when we were reading. So, like, for example, we read through the book of Genesis, right? Then we read through Exodus. We started reading Exodus and we're reading about, the Israelites being enslaved. And, oh, you know, the whole beginning is full of terrible things. You know, the babies are being killed and thrown into the Nile, and people are being enslaved, and they're just reading it like, la, la, la. I'm like, wait, hold on. Go back and read that again. What's going on? And so they read it again, and I started asking them, I'm like, why would God allow this to happen? Why? This is getting at your question. Do we underestimate them? And their intellectual abilities
yeah.
and their spiritual maturity. Yes. Because I knew that they were capable of wrestling with this big question. Why? Where is God? These are his chosen people. Where is God? Why is he allowing the baby boys to be killed? What if that was your brother? How would you feel? God's supposed to be with you. What's going on? And it was interesting. They were like, we don't know the answer. And I said, great. We're going to figure it out as we read through this book. But why don't you tell us? And I'm like, they tried to give me some, like, well, but God's always there. And I'm like, how would that make you feel if you were there at that time? Do you really believe that for these people? And they're like, so I'm forcing them to wrestle with some hard questions. I would not tell them the answer. For weeks, I would not tell them the answer. I just kept asking them questions. By the end of the book, they had discovered some very important truths, like we don't always understand what God's up to, but we see him working these things out for good. They started making connections between what they had read here and what they had read in the book of Job when we had done some studies there. So they had this very broad and very deep depth of understanding for finding the goodness of God in terrible things after we went through this book. But it was because I was having them read this, but forcing those hard questions because they were ready for it. I'm not going to do that to like an 8-year-old when they're first starting, right? But these kids, being older, they were ready for me to push them a little bit. Even though with the younger kids, if I'm giving them space to talk about the text, it's amazing that all of a sudden they'll start making connections. You know, my 11-year-old, she's starting to make all these connections, but so is her brother. At 8, we were reading about the parable of the mustard seed, and they're like, wait, that's like the story of the fig tree, and that's like the story of the farmer and the seeds on the path and the good soil, and they're making all these connections. Well, it's because I expect that they can, you know, and I've provided them time to read
it. Once again, this is belief.
Yeah.
You know, the power of, we now are learning the power of the tongue. I had a mother. Maybe had some ailments till I was about 15, but she never, ever, ever, never put me down.
Right.
She always said I could.
Right.
And now I've traveled. It sounds like I'm boasting, but I'm boasting what my mother did. I traveled the world. Mm-hmm. I've got to interview kings and queens and presidents and all kinds of New York Times bestselling lots of stuff, all because my mother, it was just like, well, I can do that. I'm Forrest Gump. My mama says I'm smart.
No, yes. I want to know something. It's funny. I was just thinking when I'm talking to you, and you mentioned about your daughter and, you know, your son. What would you think if your brother was this? You know, I just realized, I was sitting here and said, you know, I'm going to take away from having dinner at your house is when Daisy said, or you told me or something. Were you at the table or were you in the kitchen when she said something like she didn't want to do something unless her brother was with her about, what was that?
Oh, yes. That was when she got baptized.
Oh, she didn't want to do it without her brother.
Yeah, she had become, you know, she had made a profession of faith a couple of years before, but she did not want to get baptized without her brother. So she just...
Now, I don't know why that's swimming in my head, but once in a while, you know, it just... Usually you go away from something and you go, oh, what was the takeaway? And I was sitting there going...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Praise from the fruit of our lips, we've come.